Was this one of the cardinal mysteries revealed to me direct? The man-god stranger who cannot be killed and who is persecuted, but then returns with a vengeance. That's what I put at the end of my UK speech. Where has he been for the past 2,000 years? Locked in a death struggle with authority. First, the authority of his own church. Then, the secular authorities. All of them bursting the prisons gradually. Or perhaps the human who experiences the theolepsy, like the Sibyl in the Aeneid, becomes intoxicated by the energy of the spirit inhabiting it, which might include Jesus and later the apostles. The spirit, in his case, could be holy wisdom, and she is quite sane, Mat. It occurs to me at once that theolepsy must be limited to short intervals, so as to curtail the madness. But Jesus had the spirit in him most of the time. Perhaps he struggled with it and conquered the madness, except for short outbursts, such as the fig tree episode. It is Gnosticism, and Gnosticism alone, which denies the patriarchal Jewish Christian religion and enshrines Sophia as the creator goddess. So says Newman in the EB. My experience of the lady, it is exactly Gnostic, none else. In my revelations, all roads and aspects lead to her. This is Gnosticism. I've seen her, heard her, in many guises, and finally the name Santa Sophia. Gnostic revelation has broken through into my head in the modern world. I think anyone versed in Gnosticism who read my notes would say, "You're a Gnostic." I am not happy about this, but it is so, based on 374. Simon Magus lives. Note. Simon Magus, or Simon the Magician, a figure from the apostolic period who appears in Acts 8, 9-24, and is traditionally associated with Christian heresy. End note. Also, it is a thoroughly Greek syncretistic system. I must go where truth, as I've experienced it, takes me. My experience is of Santa Sophia. Well, this is a modified Gnosticism, with Sophia sanctified as Wisdom of Proverbs and the Book Wisdom, so that it can be made to jibe with the Bible. Thus, Christ becomes the female spirit Sophia in a male body. A syzygy. Ah, yes. This is the complete person, the missing half which Plato wrote about. In Jungian terms, psychological completeness, psychic integration, not either or, but both and. At last, the repressed female goddess, Princip, breaks through into Christianity in a third testament or covenant. Father, O-T, son, N-T, and daughter or mother, third T. The first emanation from God, according to the O-T, so I guess daughter as demiurge, Plato. The Godhead remains behind her. I experienced that. She is the Pantocrator, Mat, or rather, Pantocratix. Two aspects differ from Gnosticism. It is holy wisdom, not just Sophia. And she was born before and rejected, which identifies her with Christ, hence the Logos. This restores the cosmological quality to the system. Lost in Gnosticism, the creating spirit, universe creating, is holy and good, not fallen. And this maintains Christ correctly as the Redeemer and Revealer. From a Jungian viewpoint, that which characterized my birth of the whole self, or rebirth of the soul, was an experience with spiritual realities and values. It is these values, obtained from this experience, which must serve me in the second half of my life, and they do seem to be permanent and doing just that. If anything, they grow stronger as time passes. I then am that wise king first shown to me as he breached through into this world in 70. I must accept my whole identity. It is not an invasion of the ego by unconscious contents or an inflation of the ego, although there was possession by an archetype briefly in 374. When the collective unconscious merged with my consciousness. Seizure, by the wise old man, whereupon he dealt with the problems at hand, e.g., the Xerox letter, the income tax, etc. It shows what is potential in a person. Potentially available at the midpoint life crisis. The razor's edge, Augenblick. This puts it well. The resources and values of the first part of my life showed themselves bankrupt at that midpoint crisis, and so perished. But then were replaced by a structure adequate. The ego died that the self might live, and the self ably proved its worth within the first days. It is probably psychologically good that the archetypal possession was short-lived, that assimilated contents have come under control of consciousness or the ego or whatever. They are not experienced as alien or the not I or manipulatory. A manic life like that could not be rationally lived for long. It was a form of intoxication. Also divine madness, atheolepsy, such as the Sibyl experiences in the Aeneid, the collapse and death of my ego in early March of 74 allowed contents of the collective unconscious to usurp control. But they proved rational in the long run and were already a new but genuine self-system, which had evidently been forming in the unconscious. The authentic self, which Jung talks about, was already there, waiting its chance. Or rather, for its time to come. It was anticipatory. The little girl with blonde pigtails is the child self, also a new anima. Now she is grown up, as witness my conversation with Mrs. Jack Vance. She is now 28 years old, a young adult. White hair shows she is free of the shadow entirely. She is pure and related to divinity. I certainly am on good terms with her, inasmuch as she is informing and correcting me, speaking words of wisdom. Mother Mary, who comes to me. I listen to her. I crave to hear anything she can or will say. She is wiser than I. I see her as mediatrix, standing between this world, me, and the next, which is the collective unconscious. Also, the pleroma, to give it an objective existence. She mediates for the archetypes, which is the ultimate job of the anima, herself an archetype, the first one. Behind her, I have seen the Godhead, which is the ultimate archetype, the wise old man once more. He instructs and corrects her with authority and power. She instructs me with the Logos, the Word, wisdom itself. She is wisdom, Lady Wisdom, Santa Sophia, probably the highest role or identity the anima could have. Also, she is Aphrodite and the Sibyl. Then in Jungian terms, it was my anima who first spoke to me in the three-eyed form I call the Sibyl and informed me, which is to say, the spokeswoman of my unconscious warned and informed me, anima as angel saying, you are in danger, do this, do that. She spoke of and showed me a group of conspirators in business suits and ties who were murderers. But they had been seen and would be dealt with. What a message that was, and how historically correct in all regards, past, present, and future. The magnitude of my situation in terms of its danger was too much for me, and so I fell into the hands of archetypes of my unconscious who could fathom and understand and deal with the situation. They were equal to it, as great in themselves as it was in itself. They had the time span, the historic sense. They exist over thousands of years, like it, vast and intense and strong. Only archetypes could deal with such an archetypal situation, a total tyranny like that of the empire. How could I, the former ego, hang in there once it had assessed the actual reality situation? I can remember how it was when the Estonian letter and then the Xerox letter came. It was just too much on top of everything else. But the transition to the new self had already begun, as witness the phosphine activity. The old ego died before the letters arrived, died from despair and fear and hopelessness and helplessness. It was burning a votive candle in memoriam of itself. This is not to say that God didn't help. This is not to subjectivize everything. God entered via the archetypes of the collective unconscious. They presented information-rich visions. They swept the world to obtain accurate knowledge of what the situation consisted of. Like AMORC. Note: The ancient and mystical order, Rosicrucis, an American Rosicrucian order established in 1915 in San Jose, California, whose advertisements appeared in many popular magazines in the 1960s and 1970s. End note. Like AMORC says, we are light bulbs in strings, powered from an external common generator, the cosmic mind. Probably the ego can be extinguished by death, but not the soul or greater self. That which relates to this world dies. That which relates to the next and previous does not. It's all in Wordsworth's Ode. To remember immortality is to experience it, and to anticipate it lying ahead as it lay behind, coming from that same place as one is going, as if life is a parabola. If I were to define and depict on my own the archetype which took possession of me in 374, I would name him the steersman, because he steered me through the reefs and rocks to clear water, as seen through the golden rectangle gate, to safety. And then he sank back to leave me in charge again. As he first announced during my high school physics test, when initially he spoke to me, it's all very simple. And then he untangled the problem for me, simply and accurately. It was the image of the demiurge himself, I think. It was divinity itself, and being so, as the Magdeburg jar's concept shows, it therefore saw the external world as divine. It was able to do that by projection. The theophany was within and without, everywhere. I see in my mind's eye the Orphic egg like a pearl, the pearl of great price, glowing with pale white light, the color of moonbeams, the egg of Leda, derived from Zeus, the light in the tomb. This is fire bright now, a great light, a pearl, a closed egg pregnant with life. It is retractile now, dormant and waiting. It is within my mind, placed there by God. It lies within a receptacle that is infinite in extent, into space and time, my own self. The glowing pearl bobs, too, as if in a grotto on the ocean's floor. So it must be virtually weightless. The idea of a grotto suggests that not only is it retractile, slumbering and waiting, but that it is concealed, protected, too, by me. I shelter it. But it is not doing anything right now. It is merely there. One asks, what will come out of it at the proper time? Thinking of the pearl buried in the field which Christ spoke of, one recognizes it as an intrinsic treasure, so precious that one gives everything one has to acquire it. But what is it? One has sacrificed everything to acquire it. Maybe the haze of white light around it provides a clue. If this Orphic egg is, therefore, then, the steersman, the archetype, divinity, who is present and temporarily occupying and directing, was its father or source, I merely received it, gave it a place within which it could be. I am not its father, I am its recipient, which means host or mother. I shelter and hide it. No one knows it is here. I look the same. I act the same. Is this why the steersman took over my life? To be sure I'd be safe so that it, the Orphic egg pearl, could be safe? Ah, is the steersman the Holy Spirit? What happened in 374 was done in relationship to what is still future, the birth from the Orphic egg. Jung says that just prior to psychic integration and wholeness, the projections are withdrawn, The spinning woman is no longer present and at work. Certainly, this is indeed what I experienced. Man, the person involved, is restored to his original state of wholeness before the fall. The human soul is the bride of Christ, in which Christ is the King who comes and restores it. All these events took place in me in 374. I could see for the first time in my life when my projections were withdrawn. The unity, reconciliation, of all the opposites in my mind, hence the release of psychic energy. The God image in me was restored. The dream in which on your Zenith TV set, a circuit detects when Christ in his invisible form returns. It causes three lights to come on. You then remove the spindle and base and take from it a dark green cellophane strip and replace it in the TV set, where presumably the three lights come on even more, or anyhow, some further development occurs in line with the event. I ask myself, why three lights? And it occurs to me that three lights equal three eyes, the coming on of the third eye, which means the restoration of the original faculty taken away at the fall of sight. Unless the three lights simply refers to the Trinity and nothing more. This is most likely what it signifies. Also, the removal of the strip of very dark green cellophane suggests the removal, at the right time, of an occluding membrane, which filters out most of the light, allowing only a token amount to filter through. Just enough, in fact, to give a register on the three lights at all. The veil must be torn aside for the light, which has returned to shine. In the dream, I was extremely surprised to find I had such a circuit in my TV set. I called the multitude that I might show them, but none was interested. At last, I buttonholed my old friend Pat Flannery, because he was a Catholic, but even he wasn't interested. It seems as if the dream is saying, without our knowing it, we will see a sign. Three eyes will come on inside us at his return. And then we must respond and cast off the veil of ignorance or delusion, whatever. Anyhow, remove something inside us, i.e., down in the assembly and circuits. It is a barrier to the passage of the light and is made to be torn off, removed at the proper time. We don't just sit passive when the signal comes. The dream says we will know when he returns. If it is said he has returned but is invisible, no one can see him, that isn't true. The three lights will light. There will be evidence, a registering of his presence. Note it was my set. No one else had one. Did I in 374 register, like the Zenith TV set's unsuspected registering circuit, his return, by my experience and restored sight? Ah, the green cellophane was a strip, which probably refers back to Calvin's statement that our original faculties were stripped from us. It is a pun. The dark green cellophane was much like the color and appearance of very dark sunglasses, the darkest shades possible. I remember thinking in the dream, what about if the owner of the set doesn't look in the manual? And one day the three lights come on, and he wonders, what does that mean? And looks it up in the manual then. Wow! Will he be surprised at what it indicates? The manual almost certainly equals the Bible. One sees the three lights come on and, of course, consults the manual for an explanation. I reversed the order by discovering the circuit before the three lights came on. In the dream, they had not lit up yet. They were dormant, creeped. The change of color of lights, from dark green to uncolored, reminds me of the light symbolism of the bardo totale.